Father, we indeed love to be in this place. God, we've sung about your greatness and we've sung about freedom that reigns in this place. And there's freedom that reigns in this place because of your greatness. There's freedom here because of what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. That he has set us free from our sin. He has set us free from, God, the terror of spending an eternity without you. And he's given us the hope of an eternity with no more pain, no more sorrow, no more disappointment. But God, an eternity spent with you. Father, we want to come to you as your people and say we are available to you, God. Lord, that as we get an hour in here every week just to sing your praises and to be together as a whole church family, God, to dig into your word, Father, to pray together, to pray for each other, Father, we know that it's not long until we go back out into the world. And I pray that we would be sent out encouraged, challenged, and Father, ready to be used by you to impact this world for your kingdom. Lord, would you use your church to do just that? To expand your kingdom and bring other people into your kingdom, knowing the hope of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray to you, our great God, in Jesus' name, amen. We've been going through a series entitled Living in Reality. And we're going to continue on with that series, but the title of today's message is going to be just a little bit different. The title of it is called, In a Little While. In a Little While. We're going to be back in John chapter 16. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there, we're going to start in verse 16 today. We left off right where we left off last week, if you were able to be here, or if you're able to listen online. John chapter 16, verse 16. But I want to talk about this idea of just in a little while. Has anybody ever answered a question that you've asked them with that response, in a little while? I remember when I was little and growing up, not unlike many children, but we would be at home all day if it was summertime, or we'd be at school during the fall or spring, and we'd get home and play, and you know, we saw mom all the time. My mom was able to be a stay-at-home mom, and I'm so thankful for that. And my dad, I'm thankful, had gainful employment, was able to make her a stay-at-home mom and provide for our family that way. But I just remember when dad would get home from work, I just used to wait for him to get home so that he could go out, he could come out and throw the football with me or kick a soccer ball, anything that had to do anything with a ball, right? I would ask my dad just about when he walked in the door, and my dad's response, sometimes he would say, yeah, and he would just go change and we'd go out and play until dinner or whatever it was, but sometimes I would get the response in a little while, you know, or I'll be out there in a minute. And I had no idea what my dad needed to do, but do you know that an 8-year-old little boy does not have a ton of patience? Did you know that? If you've never had an 8-year-old little boy, or a 9, or a 10, or a 3 or 4-year-old little boy, we don't have a lot of patience. So when my dad would say, in a little while, or he would say, I'll be out in a minute, especially when he would say, I'll be out in a minute, I would go outside and literally count to 60, and if he wasn't there, guess where I was going? I was going to find dad because he said he'd be out in a minute. And what he meant was, son, I love you. I'll be out there when I can, but I have some other things I need to attend to. I didn't know if he just needed to decompress from a hard day at work. I didn't know if he needed to tell my mom a few things or actually catch up with my mom on a few things. I didn't know the bigger picture, but there was a reason why my dad would say, in a little while. Maybe it was just because he couldn't handle throwing one more baseball that day, that particular day at that particular time. In a little while. You know, it's not just little boys that have a problem with patience sometimes. I think we can all struggle with it. I think we can all struggle with an answer to a question that we have, especially when I have something called an iPhone, that if I have a question, if a question comes up in conversation, is it not amazing that most of us, it's whether it's an iPhone or some sort of smartphone, we can say, you know what, I was wondering that too. And what do? Immediately, we dig in our pocket, we take it out, and we Google the answer. The response to any kind of question with "in a little while" can be tough to swallow. Well, in the passage that we're going to be in today, Jesus uses this phrase, in a little while, a number of times. And again, yes, it was before the age of smartphones. It was before a lot of things. But that doesn't matter. People were still people. And the disciples, those 12 guys that Jesus had picked to follow him, to come along with him, for him to explain things in a deeper way than he was explaining to the crowds, and these guys that he was going to eventually send out to change the world, Jesus told them, some things are going to happen, but it will be in a little while. You will have to wait for them, but the waiting is so worth it. The pain that you're going to go through in the meantime is so worth it. And we've been talking about at the end of chapter 15, and then we went into the first part of 16 a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked about John 16, verses 5 through 15. And we talked about, for us as Christians, if when we say Christian, we mean follower of Jesus. When I say follower of Jesus, if you've been here at Southwinds, you know exactly where I'm going. When we say follower of Jesus, we mean that we have said, yes, Jesus is who he says he is. He did exactly what the Father sent him to do. He did everything the Father had him had ordained for him to do. And not only did he do it, but he did it so he could forgive the world of sin, so he could restore a right relationship with people. And if I believe that, and if I've confessed my sin to him, and I've asked him to save me from my sin, if I've asked him to cleanse me of my sin, and I want to follow him in everything that I do. I want to be his disciple. I want to be his apprentice. I want to follow him in every single way. Follower of Jesus. Belonging in right relationship with God. We often know the promises of God. And we want those promises right now, all the time, right away. Sometimes God says, in a little while. It's available to you, but in a little while. You're going to have to go through some things right now before you can encounter real joy. I'm going to give you the ability to have joy in the midst of trying circumstances. I'll give you the ability to have joy, joy only found in me, to go through the hardest things that you know in life. And I will bring you relief, but it will be in a little while. We want it now. John 16, starting in verse 16. Jesus is on the verge of going to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is where he was betrayed, which is where he was arrested and eventually taken to trial, to an illegal trial, but to a trial. Sentenced to death on a cross. Dying on a cross, put in a tomb, and raised on the third day. He's on the verge of going to that garden where he will be arrested. But he's taking time to speak with his disciples, to speak with those guys that he said, come along with me, I want to teach you wonderful things, and I've picked you so that you can be released onto this world. John 16, starting in verse 16. A little while and you will no longer see me. Again a little while and you will see me. Therefore, some of his disciples said to one another, what is this he tells us? A little while and you will not see me? Again, a little while and you will see me? And because I am going to the Father? They said, what is this he is saying? A little while. We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew they wanted to question him. So he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said? A little while and you will not see me? Again, a little while and you will see me? I assure you, you will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now. But I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy. In that day you will not ask me anything, I assure you. Anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. You see, Jesus has been telling the disciples over and over at this point, guys, the world hated me first, so don't be surprised if they hate you as well. Right? He says, a slave is not greater than his master. He said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they select me out and find me guilty, they're going to find you guilty. They're going to kick you out of synagogues. We looked at this a couple weeks ago. Jesus has been telling these guys, sorrow is coming, okay? But there's one that's coming that's even greater. And Jesus has told the disciples already, it's better for me to go than it is for me to stay, because if I go, that means God will send the Helper. He will send the Counselor. He will send His Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about God's Holy Spirit and how we can, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, if we live in reality every day, then we can know the peace and the assurance of living with the presence of God's Holy Spirit 24/7, 52 weeks out of the year, 12 months out of the year, 365 days. We can know it. And Jesus says, a little while and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. Like, I don't know how that's confusing. Okay, that can be really confusing, right? But the disciples, instead of turning to Jesus, they start kind of huddling with themselves. And the 12 of them are talking back and forth. They're saying, you know, Jesus, he often talks in these, he tells these stories that nobody really gets, but, you know, thankfully he takes us aside and he explains the stories a little bit better. This one we just don't understand. This one, what does he mean in a little while? What does he mean he's going to the Father? I'm just not putting two and two together here. Normally I can follow him pretty good. And instead of going to Jesus, they try to reason amongst themselves. You know, and I think often we try to do the same thing. Instead of just going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't really understand what you're doing. But I'm seeking your wisdom on this. I think we're not very different from the disciples a lot of time. But I won't go any further than that. That's a different sermon for a different day. But what I want to talk about is Jesus' response in a little while. They say, I don't really get it. And Jesus, being fully God and fully man, he says, you know what? I know what's going on in your minds. I know what's going on in your heart. You're reasoning with yourselves. You're wondering what it is that I'm saying. And so he says, let me explain a little bit to you. In a little while, Jesus says, the world is not your friend. He says, you will weep and wail. Verse 20, but the world will rejoice. You will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You see, when Jesus, knowing he was going to the cross, knowing why God sent him in the first place, knowing that he was meant to fulfill God's plan to redeem all of humanity, Jesus knew the end story. He says, you're going to be full of sorrow, but the world is going to rejoice. He's trying to help him understand just one more time. The world didn't like me first, guys. He says, the world is not your friend. You will mourn, they will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. See, Jesus, he's trying to encourage these guys. He says, yes, you will mourn the fact that I'm gone. You'll mourn the fact that I am no longer with you, that I won't be with you every day, that you won't hear me teaching beside the sea, that you won't see me going up against the Pharisees. You will mourn. He says, be steadfast. Okay? Be patient, because in a little while, your sorrow will turn to joy. In a little while. Moving on, verse 21. It says, when a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come, but when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. You know, I can remember, we had Theron, our son, just 8.5 months ago, but I can remember before we ever had kids, or before we even really knew Theron was coming along, we would talk with people that had had children. And more often than not, we would hear, now, ladies, I'm not saying this is everybody's experience, okay? More often than not, we would hear the same story. And even in our birth and babies class, the classes that we took to help prepare us for that big day and beyond, right? Like, which, I mean, they can never answer all the questions. But more often than not, ladies would say, you know what? Yes, you know, I remember, like, labor was painful. I do remember that. But really, that all gets, for the most part, blocked out in the end of the process when you see that little baby boy or girl. And that doctor hands them to you. Like, yes, I remember childbirth being painful. But one, it was so worth the pain. And two, the joy of that little boy or girl completely overshadows the pain that I went through to get there. You know, and then, so then we came to the time on May the 8th when Rachel began to have those pains. And, you know, they were manageable. Well, as you know, 17, 18 hours later, we're finally in the hospital. We're in a room. My arm is really sore from trying to rub the pain out of the small of her back, right? From those contractions. When she says, you know what? If I knew we were close to the end, that'd be fine. But I don't know if the end is anywhere in sight. 17, 18 hours later, let's do this epidural thing. And man, the pain went away. Well, back in Jesus' time, when he gives this example, not all the pain went away, okay? I just realized what I said. Not all the pain went away, but a lot of the pain went away. Back in Jesus' time, there were no epidurals, there were no C-sections, there were, you know, and I'm not making light of any of that. But he says, you will endure hardship, you will endure things, and he says, childbirth is a great example of what I'm talking about, guys. A mom goes through great sacrifice. A mom puts herself, she's put in a position that no one else will understand. And yes, when she's going through that time, there's pain, there's all kinds of stuff happening. But in the end, it is so worth it. There is relief in the end. There is life in the end. In Southwinds, we're going through a time right now as a church that we're birthing. We're going through a time where Brett and Kristen Myers have moved up here just so that we can go through this birthing process. Just so we can go through this process of saying, you know what? There are going to be pains. We're going to give away families that we love and we cherish. There's going to be pains in this birthing process as we look to start this new church over in Mahogany. We're going to be giving resources away. We're going to be paying rent for the new church for this year. We're going to be giving people away. We're going to be giving equipment away. We're going to be doing everything we can in order to make sure that we can, in order to do everything we can to make this church plan a success. Help in any way we can. You know, and it's coming sooner than later. As of March 15th, the launch team and those Bible studies that are being started in Mahogany, they're going to start to meet together as a group on Sunday mornings every other week. And they're going to be meeting in Brett and Kristen Myers' home. Southwinds, that's a good thing. They're going to be building a relationship. They're going to be building that group. And then, you know, as long as the building is completed on time, they're telling us now June 1st or June 15th, we should be able to get in there and start having worship services somewhere around the middle of June. With this new church plant in Mahogany. And we will birth a church. And you know, do you know what's going to come at the end of all those pains, at the end of the financial sacrifices, the people that we're going to be giving away, the equipment we're going to be giving away? It's not even painful. But you know what's going to come at the end of that? Life. You know what comes at the end of that? A brand new baby church. What comes at the end of that is an established presence of God's people in another community saying we want to take responsibility for our community, we want to pray for our community, we want to reach out to our community, we want to take the good news of Jesus Christ to our community, we want to be the pastor to Mahogany, which if you remember, that's what Brett is introduced as in every community meeting that he goes to. We're not talking about church meetings, we're talking about community meetings. He's introduced as, this is our pastor to Mahogany. Praise God. So when Jesus talks about, now, and we have a ton of babies in our church, and we have some expectant mothers in our church, but when Jesus talks about these labor pains, but at the end, there's life and it's so worth it, we're not only seeing it happen and hearing about the results of those things happening, but we're going through it as a church. And Southwinds, it is so worth it. It is so worth going through those labor pains, because at the end there's life. Something new will be birthed. In a little while, Southwind, something new will be birthed. And it's something that we've talked about for 7 years. But now's the time. Something new will be birthed. John 16:21. In a little while, they will experience, these disciples will experience a new dimension of God. Verse 22. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy. In that day, you will not ask me anything. I assure you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. See, Jesus is saying, in a little while, you're going to experience relationship with the Father you didn't know before, because right now, you ask me everything, and I'm the one that communicates with the Father. But Jesus is saying, when I go, that God is going to send His Holy Spirit, He's going to send His Counselor, and you no longer have to go through anyone else. You will have direct relationship with the Father, right relationship. Southwinds, this was in a little while for them. It's right now for us. The disciples had to go through the pain and the sorrow. But we get to experience it every day if we're a follower of Jesus. They will experience a new dimension in God. Their sorrow will be turned to abundant joy in a little while. It's not something that we look forward to hearing. You know, when you think about the joy that God promises He will give and that God has given us, sometimes you think, okay, well, you know, when I get hurt by someone that's the very closest to me, joy is not the first thing that I feel. That abundant joy that God says no one can rob from me. When I'm going through downsizing, you know, maybe in our province that could be a very much a real reality with the price of oil dropping. When I'm going through downsizing, I'm either having to lay people off or I'm getting laid off, joy is not the first thing on my heart. God says, but it is possible to have it. If I've said no one can rob you from it, then I will give it. You just turn to me. I will give it to you. And when He says, anything you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Anybody here, you don't raise your hand, please, but anybody here been asking for a Corvette lately? In the name, you know? Anybody here been asking for that $1 million lately? When He says, again in verse 23, He says, anything you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. And Jesus is saying, look guys, this is this new dimension that you're going to experience. They had never experienced being able to go before the Father themselves and communicate directly with Him. We get to do it on a daily basis. Any hour a day, we can approach the Father. And we are welcome. He encourages us, come and lay our hearts before Him. Come and lay those requests before Him. When our loved one is sick, and all we want God to do is heal them, all we want God to do is provide for it, because He can, right? He can perform a miracle. What God means is He will answer you. He will answer you. It doesn't mean that He's a magic piggy bank. It doesn't mean that He's going to give you that Corvette or that $1 million. He's going to give me that Corvette or that $1 million. It means that if I'm seeking Him, if I'm laying my heart before Him and saying, God, I do, I want you to heal my friend. I want you to heal my father. I want you to provide for these people so that they can keep their jobs. That He hears us and He will answer us. But His response just might not always be yes. His response might be in a little while. His response might be no. But He will heal us. He will hear us and He will answer us. He will give us an answer. He will communicate directly with us in a little while. Southlands, I want to ask, what are we asking God to do? And would we be okay with Him saying, in a little while? We asked for years that He would use us to continue to plant churches in these communities, south of Stony Trail, south of 22X. We asked Him and asked Him, and we said, God, we want to do it, but we want to wait on Your timing. And then He said, He continued to say for 7 years, in a little while. But now He's saying, go. Now He's saying, it's time. Now He's saying, I hope you're ready. Because Southland's Mahogany is coming online. And I hope we keep asking God. Not only as a church for where else do we go and what else do we do, but I hope as individual followers of Jesus, we continue to ask God, God, where do You want to use me? God, enter whatever request You might have. But am I willing to say, God, if You say in a little while, that I will say it is worth the wait. That I will say, You give joy that cannot be robbed from Me. You promise the disciples, You're a God who capitalizes on what You promise. You give joy that cannot be robbed away. Are we willing to live in that reality? To say, in a little while is okay. God, I don't know the bigger picture. I don't know everything You're doing. But I will wait and I will obey whatever it is You command. What are we asking God? And are we willing for Him, and are we willing to say, it's okay, I will wait if He says in a little while? Our worship team is going to come and they're going to lead one last song. We've been talking about living in reality. And I hope this morning that the message that you heard was the fact that we don't want to live in a bubble. We know that in this world we can't have everything we want right when we want it. We know that in this world we can't have everything we want. But that we know the God that provides us everything that we need. We know the God who has a perfect will, and He will provide for us in every way. So as we ask God as a church, and as you ask God, as we ask God as individual followers of Jesus, be willing to say, God, if You say in a little while, that's okay.